Coming up on podcast 1257, the trillion-dollar Tesla that strikes a big deal with Hertz. Stick around, I'll tell you all about it. Also on the podcast today, Mercedes-Benz EQB starts production, XPeng Motors reveal their fast-charging technology, and why gigafactories are the thing to have for every country these days. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Tuesday, 26th of October. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story, so you don't have to. And there really is only one massive story circulating around the world, beyond the EV press, into every corner of the news media. It's captured attention, and it is indeed trillion-dollar Tesla. And a double bonanza, actually, for Elon Musk, but we'll get onto that in a moment. The surge in Tesla's stock market value went beyond $1 trillion late last night, UK time. Market closes at like 9:30 here in the UK because of the time difference. It's a double bonanza as well for Elon Musk as the biggest shareholder of the company. The stock rallied 12.7% on news that Tesla landed their biggest ever order from the rental car company Hertz, which is a little odd because people keep telling me Tesla isn't a car company. It's valued at $1 trillion because it's everything else. But when they do a deal to sell lots of cars, well, that appears to move the stock more than anything else. And boy, did it move the stock yesterday with the record high close of $1,024.86 per share. Elon Musk's 23% stake in the newly minted $1 trillion company makes him about $230 billion, says Reuters.com. Elon Musk receives no salary at Tesla. His pay package instead provides 12 options or tranches that vest when certain goals are hit, like market capitalization and also financial growth and rising milestones as well. The options let Mr. Musk buy Tesla shares at just $70 each. As of today, that's a discount of more than 90% on their current price. Well, Tesla's Hertz deal did raise many, many eyebrows because Tesla are indeed, as I keep being told, sold out pretty much for next year. So 100,000 cars on order to be delivered by the end of 2022. Well, ordering a new Tesla Model 3, Model Y, standard range at least, right now, means that you'll go in the queue and get your car sometime August or September next year. They are constrained with how many vehicles they can make, and yet they add 100,000 vehicles to their calendar next year. They must be so confident in those cars coming out of Texas and China and Berlin as well. They have to be, or they simply couldn't deliver on that that order. It's a $4.2 billion deal, and if you crunch the numbers on that, it shows that Hertz didn't actually get a discount. They paid, whether it's exactly or close to the price that you and I would pay for a car. An order for 100,000 cars vaults electric vehicles into the mainstream with so many people that just want to turn up and hire a car at the airport or something, and they get an electric one. Not only does Tesla get a huge order at a very premium price, it should be said, it gets a way for the electric curious masses to test drive their Model 3. No more finding somebody on Turo. You can just go to Hertz and get a Model 3. Meanwhile, Hertz gets to tap into a growing interest in EVs. Like, I don't have to tell you that. You're listening to an EV podcast. And Hertz aligns itself with the industry leader and one of the sexiest, most attractive, talked about brands as well. This does no harm for Hertz by ordering 100,000 vehicles, whether they ever get delivered or not. Tesla will benefit from the exposure in a very splashy Hertz ad campaign with seven-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady. An opportunity, says Hertz, the CEO Mark Fields, an opportunity to not only fix the business but employ a strategy that allows us to play a crucial role in development of the modern mobility industry. A lofty goal. Hertz's interim CEO is actually a former CEO at Ford Motor Company. Ouch. One of our objectives, he says, is to lead the adoption of EVs. Well, Mr. Musk said on Twitter that he was surprised about the strange jump in value, considering that Tesla is selling as many cars as they can make as they speed up production. Until now, according to DetroitNews.com, they write that Tesla has relied on word of mouth and eschewed traditional advertising entirely. But a side benefit of the Hertz deal is that Model 3 rental cars will be the focus of Brady's message. Two TV spots debuted today, one called Plugged In, one called Speed, showing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback renting, recharging, and even driving a Tesla from the airport. The tagline for the commercials is, Let's go, his signature line. Well, Tesla also benefits from, well, simply the size of the order, says Detroit News, which is $4.2 billion, according to people familiar with the terms of the deal. That value suggests Hertz is paying sticker price. And that breaks with a long-time tradition of car makers selling cars to rental companies at very, very deep discounts. Hertz also said it's installing thousands of charging stations to augment Tesla's superchargers in the US and in Europe. And for more context, they've bought 100,000 extra cars, or they've sold 100,000 extra cars in 2022, if they can make them. They basically added a Europe. Let me explain. 100,000 orders next year is more than the 93,000 that Tesla sold in the entirety of last year here in Europe. So in one deal, they've added a Europe to their bottom line. Not a bad day at the office, right? Okay, moving on. Following up the story that we talked about recently where the Highway Safety Agency in the US wants to know more about Tesla's autopilot, the investigation that's ongoing. Tesla doesn't want anyone to see its response, so they have requested that their response remains private. If Tesla's request is granted, it bars the public from seeing Tesla's response to NHTSA, and it's all to do with the probe into autopilot and possible defects, says TheVerge.com. Tesla wants to keep secret its response to the federal investigation into autopilot. In a memo submitted to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, regulators noted that Tesla has requested what's called a confidential business information, a CBI treatment for the entirety of this investigation. No word yet on whether that's granted. Panasonic today said that they will unveil a new large prototype battery designed to help their customer Tesla and lower production costs. Of course, we're talking about the 4680, 46 millimeters across, 80 millimeters in height. The baked bean tin, as I'm thinking of it right now, the new battery form factor, Tesla making their own versions of this, and Panasonic will be another one making these batteries. And a move the Japanese company's battery chief said would deepen the business ties with a key customer. According to Investing.com, Panasonic will be the sole external manufacturer of the 4680 formats, and Panasonic should remain the critical link in Tesla's supply chain, at least for the pricier models. Panasonic has ruled out ever making, well, at least for now, LFP batteries, lithium, iron, phosphate. They tend to be used in lower cost vehicles and getting lots of attention. I talk about them a lot on the podcast over the last year or so. Panasonic saying, well, they're not for us, much like the Korean battery makers, sort of SK Innovation and LG, etc., saying, not for us. Well, they'll have a look at them, but really it's the Chinese that are making like 98% of all LFP batteries. I think it's something like that. I'd have to look the stat up. Finally, going to China, Tesla saying yesterday that they have opened their research facility and data center in Shanghai as the car maker ramps up localization. The R&D facility, which is Tesla's first outside of the US, employs local engineers for local work on software, electronics, materials, and charging. Tesla said in a statement that they issued, the facility will develop over time to be as big as the R&D center in the US. According to ChinaDaily.com, the new data center in Shanghai stores Tesla's data locally, the operation data. At an industry forum back in September, Mr. Musk said that data security is important. Well, China issued guidelines on automobile data protection back in August in a move, they say, to protect drivers' privacy and safeguard national security. Yeah, that's what it's all about, really. If I pick through the pieces of this story, Teslas are being sold in China. Tesla are a Western company, first wholly owned, not doing a joint venture, first one allowed to be wholly owned, doing business in China. They're covered in cameras, and those cars can drive all over China. And that data is recorded, sent back to the mothership, and stored somewhere. China want to make sure it's stored in China so that they can look at it and get to it. If they want to know if you live in China, that's, you just live with that fact that if the, you know, if the government want to know where you've been, they have access to your car data. It's just the way it is. And so all of any smart vehicle, any EV, a connected car, all of that data is available to the Chinese government anytime they want to look at it, see what you've been up to, where you've been going, who's been in your car. Of course, the internal camera as well in Teslas is a privacy issue. But Them's the rules. Want to do business in China? Well, you got to store your data in China and make that available to the authorities when they want to see it. Tesla said that data about their vehicles, as well as local production and sales and service, will only be stored locally now. So, obviously, China, that was one of the rules of doing business there. Model 3 has done so well in Europe. An amazing result. Tesla topped the European new car sales charts last month in September, taking a 2.6% market share, according to JATO Dynamics, the first time that an EV has led the EU market, and the first time a vehicle manufactured outside of Europe has occupied the top spot. Let me be clear, Tesla Model 3 was the number one selling car in September in the EU, not the number one EV. Well, of course it was the number one EV. It is an EV. It was the number one car in September. Now, much of that has to do with the way that Tesla have to do their deliveries, or they choose to do their deliveries, I should say. Not really selling anything month to month, and then piling all of their numbers into end of quarter into September. So a big rush, and of course, if you stack the deck, you're going to look good in September, and you'll look like trash in October and November, but great in December, last month of the quarter. But you can't escape the fact, number one car is amazing. It's an electric vehicle. Since its entry into the European market, Model Y also performing well, securing second spots in the electric car rankings, and because of the success of those two, Tesla last month once again head of VW, a share of 24% over VW's 22%, Stellantis 13%, Hyundai Kia 11% on the month. Over the year though, VW far, far ahead, because like I say, Tesla just pump all of their cars into 1 month. When Berlin opens, clearly that'll change, because there'll be cars coming out of the factory, hundreds of them every day. Eventually, next on the podcast, we'll talk about XPeng's fast charging technology, 800 volt super fast chargers. Yet we'll get onto that and why everybody these days wants their own gigafactory. Stick around, that's on the way. Okay, now on the podcast, let's talk a little bit about the Mercedes-Benz EQB. That's entered serial production. Series production of the all-electric EQB has started in Hungary. It was presented back in April, and it's going to be made for world markets. There's a China-specific version built in Beijing, though. The EQB is about 8 centimetres shorter than the EQC, 22 centimetres longer than the EQA, so it has size-wise more to do with a larger SUV shape. Technically, however, the EQB is related to the small EQA because they're on the same platform. Says electrive.com. Hungarian Foreign and Trade Minister Peter Szilárdó also was present at the event for the series production of the EQB to mark the start. And why would a senior official in Hungary be there for the start of a car rolling off the production line? I will tell you why. Because Hungary, the state, provided 42 million euros in support of the investment in the plant there. So there you go. Have some money. Come and make cars here, and we'll turn up to cut the ribbon. Next, the Chinese company XPeng Motors is launching 480 kilowatt fast charging. And if you can find yourself a 350 kilowatt DC fast charger, you're doing well these days. But after the Chinese company GAC, which I told you about recently on the podcast, now it's time for XPeng to announce their own plans for their own high-powered charging network. 480-kilowatt chargers will take full advantage of XPeng's 800-volt architecture. XPeng have about 440-odd fast-charging stations in China right now, says Push EVs. XPeng saying that the upcoming EVs built on their new 800-volt architecture means that you can charge for 5 minutes and add 200 kilometres of range. And it's really becoming clear, says Pedro at Push EVs, that over the next year or so, 800-volt architectures will make most new electric cars more efficient, charge faster than they do today, and actually upcoming 800-volt systems combined with batteries that have got either a silicon or graphene dominant anode will be the next big step in killing off combustion, because then it really is a 5 minute stop. It genuinely is a 5 or 10 minute charge. These batteries are charging at hundreds of kilowatts. Have a look at the GAC story that I did on the podcast, the blog, if you ever want to look at it, by the way, I do have a webpage where I put all the stories, which is evnewsdaily.com. It'll search bar at the top, and you can look at any of the previous 1,256 podcasts if you're a sucker for punishment. Next, Saudi Arabia We'll start. Electric vehicles in the capital, Riyadh, pushing at least 30% of cars in the capital to be full electric by 2030. So about a third of their cars, which is pretty good as the world's biggest oil exporter. It's unclear if the rest of Saudi Arabia will follow Riyadh's lead or whether the city will want to mandate EVs one day, says Bloomberg.com. Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund has been investing in EVs for several years, including Tesla and rival Lucid Motors, most famously. Next, we'll talk about why everybody wants a gigafactory these days, simply the must-have for the 2021 season. The Chinese owner of the UK's only large-scale battery factory has revealed plans to expand their gigafactory at the Sunderland plant, where the Nissan Leaf is made. Envision AESC said annual capacity of the plant will be increased. They've realised they need a bit more. So we heard earlier in the year in July that Envision was going to make 11 gigawatt hours of cells here in the Northeast. They've upped it to 38. Yeah, that's rather a big increase. 38 gigawatt hours of cells being made at the Nissan plant. No, next door to the Nissan plant, if you like. The Sunderland Gigafactory currently is only 1.7 gigawatt hours. First opened about 10 years ago. It was 2012 it opened, actually, to support cells for the Nissan Leaf. That was when Nissan owned it, but then they sold it off to Envision AESC. According to the Guardian newspaper, that there are plans for 247 battery plants in construction right now around the world, with a total output of more than 4,600 gigawatt hours, according to Benchmark Minerals. The industry is dominated by Asian companies, the likes of CATL in China, South Korea's LG, Japan's Panasonic, but the European and increasingly US markets are wanting to announce more investment in cells. So, a little bit of UK news. I'll explain why it's important for everyone listening to the podcast, wherever you live around the world. So our politicians, our MPs, members of parliament, have responded to one of their own committees. So they set up a called the Transport Committee to make some recommendations to the government on what they should be thinking about. And now our politicians have responded to their own Transport Committee and the recommendations. That was published yesterday. It's a 9-page PDF. I mean, it's a government document. So I'll pop it in the show notes if you want to read it. I'm not going to read it on screen. I'm going to print it out and have a cup of tea and sit on the sofa and read this one because it looks pretty heavy. However, the committee made some recommendations. Would these go down where you're listening around the world? They say that accessible and reliable charging must be available, but drivers who live in rural and remote areas without off-street parking risk left behind. Okay, I mean, if you live in a remote area, you probably have got off-road parking, but that seems a bit of a weird thing to say. But I guess there are people that live in remote locations that can't park off-road or can't charge off-road. They also said that the government must work with the national grid to ensure that there are not spots. There are no not spots. In other words, areas where the grid can't cope. Now, we've had Graham Cooper on this podcast before from National Grid, and I just put him the very blunt question, which I see people raise all the time. We all drive EVs, there'll be blackouts. And he said, absolute nonsense. Firstly, they've been working on this for years. But secondly, it helps the grid if we all charge sympathetically. If we all get home and plug in at 4 p.m, there'll be problems. If we all queue up and buy petrol at the same time, as we've seen recently, there are problems. So manage it either through price incentivizing or other kind of mechanisms you can put in place, and there's going to be no issue. But the committee's saying, make sure everyone can charge, saying that there should be equal tax rates. And that's really interesting. If you didn't know, then we pay 5% tax on our home electricity, but 20% tax on charging on DC fast chargers or out of home. So it's much cheaper to charge at home, not only because the rate's cheaper, but because we pay a lot less government tax, 5% versus 20% on charging. The committee recommended that the industry uses pricing to change customer behaviour. And I totally agree with that. I'm on the Octopus Agile tariff. It changes every half an hour, and it really affects when I use electricity. I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. Right, final story. And Pivot Power and EDF, the state-owned EDF electricity company, have just turned on a 50 megawatt battery storage system in the Kent countryside. Careful how you say that one. The unit is based on their Kemley site, as the companies hope it will boost the UK's net zero ambitions. The Lithium-ion battery, according to energylivenews.com, is connected to the back-end of National Grid's network and will provide flexibility and support to our electricity grid. A 50-megawatt battery storage system going online is the second one of those. First one was just outside Cowley in Oxford. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. How many of you guys have changed your electricity tariff after buying an EV? Maybe you did before, or maybe you got solar and it made you think about your home tariff. How many of you regularly change your home lecky deal to get the best one, if that is indeed possible, where you live? How much interest do you pay in what tariff you're on? Let me know. Email me your thoughts. I'd like to learn all about how this works with listeners of this podcast around the world. I'm sure there's loads of different systems in place. So educate me and everyone listening. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks so much to the Patreon family. Couldn't do it without you. And as we head towards the end of the month, a reminder, billing day is the first of the month. Thank you so much to all of our premium partners. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley, who's been on his travels lately to see some EVs being launched. Go and see what he's been up to on the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.